The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Joining us now, ESPN's Ben Baby here to give us more insights on the Cincinnati Bengals. And a good afternoon, Ben. How the heck have you been?
Hey, I'm good. Always good catching up with y'all.
It's great. It's great to hear from you. And obviously, you know, we have a big matchup coming on Monday night. Cowboys fans hoping for a third win in a row. You know, what can you tell us about this Bengals record? We know they've lost some really close games, but should we be looking at this like this is a winnable game for the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, anytime you got a 4-8 team coming in the building, you got to feel like it's a winnable game. But, you know, I think that, you know, in talking about this game, the last few days, I think that people understand that this is definitely a better team than the record indicates. You know, we heard Jamar Chase speak just a little while ago, and they understand that. And I think that's been the sentiment this entire season, that they feel like the record hasn't been reflective of the quality of the team, but they also know the record is what the record is. And, you know, for the Cowboys to get a win on Monday, they're going to deal with a quarterback playing at an MVP level, a receiver who might be the best in the league this season, and a defense that still has some good pieces that can give them some problems. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting matchup. I think both teams are in very similar positions, have a lot of similar pieces, a lot of similar questions about them moving forward. So I think we might learn a lot about their futures here on Monday night.
So, Ben, how bad is this Bengals defense? And it seems like if they're not playing against the Chiefs, they're kind of getting shredded by everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's a really banged-up group. You know, Sheldon Rankin's a big free agent defensive tackle. He's currently dealing with a viral illness. Other guys have been playing through injuries like Sam Hubbard, B.J. Hill, Logan Wilson, the starting middle linebacker, on injured reserve today with a knee injury. Got a secondary that just kind of has some issues here and there. And, you know, the big guy that we talk about this year is Cam Taylor-Britt, who had been good early in the year and then just kind of regressed. And, you know, I caught up with him a little bit just a few minutes ago, and it sounds like mentally he's in a good spot. He really just honestly, he's like, I just don't like talking about it. Because that kind of what messes me up a little bit. And so, you know, that defense, there's going to be a lot of questions about them moving forward, about the defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. And so for a Cowboys offense, you know, that is going to have Cooper Rush at quarterback, I still think there are going to be ways for them to be successful and find ways to move the ball.
Local legend Ben Baby with us here on The Fan, covers the Bengals for ESPN. We were just asked the question, who do we fear more in this game to wreck it on the Bengals side of things, Trey Hendrickson on the defensive side or Jamar Chase?
Oh, I'd say I would go Jamar Chase. I mean, right now, he's playing so well. You look at any of the numbers, he's just off the charts in all categories you can think of. He wants to go win the Triple Crown, which hasn't been done since Cooper Kupp did it a few years ago. And I think the unique thing about Jamar is that because of how he's kind of developed as a receiver, he's able to do everything in this offense. Like this year, the Bengals don't have a dedicated slot receiver. That was Tyler Boyd. He's now in Tennessee. And so they've moved Jamar across the formation, trying to get him away from some of those double teams in that cloud, those cloud coverages that they've just want to make sure that anybody but Jamar beats you. And I think that even that, still, the Bengals have found a way to make sure he's potent. And then you got T. Higgins on the other side as well. And, you know, I asked Jamar about that Cowboys secondary, and he knows that they're really solid. When you got Jerron Bland, Trayvon Diggs, you know, it's a good group I've known of Donovan Wilson since I covered him at A&M. Yeah. I know what Dono brings to the table. So I do think that'll be a fun matchup. Trey Hendrickson will be a handful, but Jamar is definitely the one you've got to keep contained.
I do have a follow-up on these Bengals receivers, Ben, but I hope this isn't a ball snacking. 817 says, tell Ben hello. It's Bryce Hamilton. We went to high school together.
Well, Bryce and I didn't just go to high school together. We went to middle school together. We were in the same percussion group. So
let's go.
I've got a lot of GBAC folks have been hitting me up with me coming back home. That's what makes it so fun for me. It's awesome.
We love you, bro.
As a DFW guy, Ben, are you up on everything with the Cowboys?
I stay abreast of things. I keep tabs, but no, I mean, it's been interesting because, like I said, I think there's a lot of parallels between both of these teams.
Okay, so with the wide receivers, what's up with T. Higgins, the contract situation? I know he's been banged up this year as well. How do you see this stuff getting figured out with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's the big question around this franchise is what exactly they're going to do. Not really with T, but with Ja'Marr. T, it just seems unlikely that they're going to be able to find a way to pay him what he's going to be worth on the open market. You know, can the Bengals honestly get value for that? Are they willing to trade him, which is something they haven't really done or thought about over the last few years? I think that might be the best option for them just personally because of how much they need to retool this roster. As for Ja'Marr Chase, I think this is going to be a really fascinating situation to play out. It was a bitter negotiation last time around. Week two, the night before the Bengals played Kansas City, our Adam Schefter reported that Chase felt misled throughout the course of the negotiation and talking to people throughout it as well. I think that there was a sense that I never thought they were going to find a way to come together and really find an agreement that worked. And I think that for what Ja'Marr is going to want, it's going to have to take the Bengals deviating from their traditional structure for non-quarterbacks. And I think that's right now the future of, the big question surrounding the future is how much do you value what Ja'Marr brings to the table and how do you build, if you do invest in him, around him and Joe?
It's Ben Baby, ESPN. Do people feel like the Bengals, that maybe this team is going to go back to being a sub-500 franchise and this is the first step to that, or is it much more optimistic with Joe Burrow at the helm?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting because I've been asked this as well going into this game about kind of the vibe around the team and really from the fans. And what I've said is I think there's an expectation that this team should be better than it is. And, I was walking to practice today and some guy was yelling at me saying, he's like, hey, Bengals cameraman, they should be a little bit better. I don't take any snaps, buddy. But he was yelling at players and coaches as they were walking to practice. And so, and honestly, that kind of sums up how fans feel. They feel like this has been an underwhelming team. And I think the biggest thing they're nervous about, you can get a sense of, they don't want Burrow to be squandered. I think people here remember what it was like when Carson Palmer was here. And I think there's been a bit of revisionist history, and a lot of people hated Carson and how he went about things. But I think over time they came to understand that maybe he was more correct and how serious the Bengals were towards winning. And the Bengals have rectified a lot of those problems over time. But I think that's something that you feel from the fan base, that they're nervous, that they're not going to make the most of a guy playing at an MVP level and being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, because right now Joe Burrow is that guy. He's playing, if they had a couple more wins, as Ja'Marr Chase said, we might be talking about him winning the MVP, and you're squandering that kind of season.
With Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor's had a ton of success, but is he looked at as being on the hot seat right now?
I think it's still a little early, and I haven't heard anything from inside the building one way or another. I want to make sure that's perfectly clear. And I think that when you look at what Zach's done, struggled early on, but then also the same guy who helped the Bengals get to the Super Bowl, get back to the AFC Championship game. And, Joe has always really liked working with Zach, and Zach has always done a good job of making Burrow feel comfortable in everything from play calls to scheme and all of that. And then talking to players around the league, that is really important. And I think some of the other traits that Zach brings to the table are also things that have been valued, not just by players, but by those inside the building as well. But, Zach said it best, right now he's a 4-8 coach, because that's what the record is. And if things unravel towards the end of the season, then maybe we revisit that and maybe the heat gets cranked up. But right now, it might be a little too early to say any of that.
Hey, Ben, has the blind spot for Duke Tobin and his staff been trying to find offensive linemen?
Absolutely. I think that that's, you know, you could really include the trenches in that regard. I think that they, so for whatever reason you look at it, it's something they've really struggled with. In my 6 years here, it's just something they haven't really been able to hit on. I think Amarius Mims, their right tackle out of Georgia, is really good, has earned a ton of praise all year. And you've seen him really start to find his footing. And, you know, I think they did a good job of signing Orlando Brown before he got hurt, was playing like one of the best tackles in the league, which made their record, again, all the more jarring. But, you know, in terms of development, they just haven't been able to hit on guys, at any round. It's just really going to struggle for them on both sides of the ball. And that's something they're going to really have to look at going into next season, because fans may not realize this here in Cincinnati, but I think this team really could be looking at a lengthy rebuild if they don't, you know, if they don't attack this the right way.
It's Ben Baby with you. The plan has to start with stopping Micah for them, right? How are they doing against elite pass rushers?
They have actually not been terrible. I think this has been the best. You know, I think everyone's heard about the Bengals offensive line the last few years, how they haven't been able to protect Burrow. I think they've actually done a good job, all things considered, this year. I think one of the things that helps is Burrow has been, I think his pocket presence has been the best it's ever been. His ability to climb the pocket, you know, he's felt more comfortable doing that. You know, his mobility has been, you know, noted going back to training camp, and now he's throwing the ball a lot better than he thought he was early on in the year. And you know, watching him at practice today, I definitely got a sense of that. Saw him even try out a no-look pass. I gave him a hard time for it. But, you know, he's done a lot of off-platform work at practice today. And, you know, Cody Ford, if Orlando Brown can't go, and that doesn't seem likely, hasn't practiced this week, hasn't really struggled with a leg issue the last few weeks. I think Cody's done a good job at tackle, which is one of the reasons why they started him at left guard last week. And that configuration of Ford at tackle, Cordell Vosin at left guard, I think that should suffice to slow Micah down if they have a good game plan for it. But, you know, he's one of the best in the league in creating havoc, has been that way the last few years. Him and Trey Hendrickson, both among the league leaders in pass rush win rate. So, you know, Cincinnati's going to have to find a way to make sure that they give Burrow enough time to find those receivers downfield.
Has Burrow done a show and tell yet with the Batmobile?
Yeah, it's funny. I have a hunch that people were not thrilled, because not only did Burrow deny every question about the Batmobile, Jamar didn't, and T. Higgins both, who were in that clip on Hard Knocks, were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So it has been a mum talking point, I should say, here over the last couple of days.
So what's your opinion on the Skyline Chili?
So the diplomatic answer, I'm amongst Texans, so I feel like I'm in a safe space.
You are, absolutely. Yeah.
The diplomatic answer I give is that, it's true, is that I will eat it on the hot dogs. I do not want it on the spaghetti. Because
there you
go. Thing is, the chili, it's so watery. It's not thick. Yeah. If you're going to try the true meat sauce, you got to put it on something that can hold it. Well, if you're going to put it on on spaghetti, it's just already water on water. That doesn't work. I need something to soak it up, but no, I think we're all thrilled to be eating the press box food at AT&T Stadium. I'm planning on hitting WADA as soon as I get into town.
Let's go.
I know that they're talking about going potentially to Terry Black's, a lot of the other writers, the night before the game.
Okay.
I said, I haven't lived in DFW in 5 years. That's like being out of somewhere for 30 years at this point. So,
are you going to stay in Arlington?
I think they're staying downtown. So if you're going to get out there, I don't know if Pecan Live still brings the heat like it
does.
Oh, it's good.
It does.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Terry.
Yeah, I feel like you can't go wrong. So, the food scene, I am very happy to go back and get a few meals when I get back home.
There's like a new contender for king of the town, and it's Hurtado in Arlington.
Oh yeah, Hurtado's goes hard. I mean, I like what they do. Like behind, I mean, listen, we can talk about this for hours on it. If we want to do another segment, we can run this back.
Let's do it.
Well, thank you, Ben. Enjoy your time in town. If you need anything, I'm sure you're taken care of. But if there's anything extra, let us know.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me on. It's always fun.
Go Green, Ben Baby, ESPN.